How to develop your coaching philosophy. First, you need to know yourself. There's self-awareness, self-esteem, and self-disclosure. Self-awareness, when you are at peace with yourself, you can help your athletes be at peace with themselves. So when you are aware of your emotions, your behaviors, your habits, you become at peace with yourself. You can also help your athletes become at peace with themselves by helping them become more self-aware. How can you teach self-awareness? One, you can just focus more on your breathing. You can focus on the person that's in front of you instead of your phone. Selecting one thing at a time to focus on is a good way to improve self-awareness. But usually for me, it's bringing it back to my breathing. Inhaling through the nose, filling the abdominals, everything up, 360, and then exhaling out. What you teach may well be less important than what you demonstrate through your character and philosophy. So people might be judging you on your character and your philosophy as opposed to, you know, what you teach them, like the technical skills or the game itself or the rules, right? So self-awareness is knowing yourself enough where people can get a glimpse of you through your behaviors and not covering it up. And this is usually explained in your coaching philosophy and what you believe in. Your athletes are much more likely to become what you are rather than what you want them to be. Okay, so you might have a view as a coach to mold your players or to get them from point A to point B, but they're more likely to become what you are rather than what you want them to be. They're more likely to become like you. So that's why it's really important for you to have self-awareness. Where are you at as a coach? Where is your mind at? What are your values? If you don't have, you know, positive values, if you don't have unselfish values, or if you have selfish values, these are all things that good coaches need to have. So it's really important to have really good self-awareness before you start to coach. Your self-esteem. Self-esteem is the inner conviction about your competency and worth as a human being. So what you know about what you're teaching or what you know about what you're coaching is going to be portrayed by how you coach and how you teach. Meaning, if you have high self-esteem, you'll be more comfortable, right? You'll know you have enough competency and worth as a human being. Whereas if your self-esteem is low, you might not feel like you have a lot of competency and you might feel less worth. But it's important to have a high self-esteem and a positive outlook as opposed to a low self-esteem. Now, how can we build our self-esteem? Our self-esteem will grow with more self-awareness. Self-awareness comes from understanding your true character and your true habits, okay? Self-esteem is not achieved by defeating others, but by living up to your own realistic standards. So thinking about the three different selves, the public self, your real self, and the ideal self, right? So if you feel like you're already at the top of the mountain, but you're not really there, this can lower your self-esteem. So you might think you're the best, but you're not the best. So internally, this might actually lower your self-esteem. So another way to lower your self-esteem is trying to defeat others. So if we feel like we're over-competitive or we're just trying to make someone lose, and that might mean that we don't have enough esteem, self-esteem to, you know, let someone else win or have, you know, empathy for someone else. So if you have high esteem, you're not worried about other people. Self-disclosure. This must be relevant to your relationship and appropriate to the situation. So depending on what you say, to the individuals, it depends on the situation, and it must be appropriate. And this is also determined by the relationship you have with your athletes or students. So you don't want to say too much, and you don't want to say too little, and you do want to tell them, you know, what mistakes you make, and you're also going to want to disclose, you know, what you feel about the team and how you plan on coaching them. If you don't self-disclose with your players, they won't with you. So if you don't tell them about, you know, what's going on in your mind or what you believe as a human being, then they're not going to give it back. What is a successful coach? So there's wins. That's definitely a successful coach, right? A successful coach is one who relates to athletes, one who motivates their players, one who can recruit successful players and has good support financially, strong work ethic, has the right equipment and facility, and good knowledge of the sport. So those would be all successes as a coach. Also, having good staff, staying educated, graduates players at a high rate. Their players love the game when they finish their eligibility. So at the end of my 2 years of soccer, I really didn't love the game as much. So I'm not sure if that is a good success or a bad success for my coach. Enjoy a lifetime friendship with former players. Respected by players and peers. And mentors others in the field. So helps other coaches. Their players respect them, and they enjoy lifetime friendship with former players. That is a successful coach. If a coach can get you to love the game when you're done with it and enjoy your friends and with former players, plus be respected, that's going to be a great thing. For example, Don Shula, his coaching philosophy sets the context and boundaries within which our players and coaches can operate. They can keep me honest and heading in the right direction. So that's something that Don Shula said. Keep winning and losing in perspective, he said. So you may win a ton of games, but put it in perspective. You know, there could be other teams with more wins or more losses. So put things in perspective. Lead by example. I think we as teachers and coaches, we have to demonstrate high morale and character as opposed to push that on our players. We have to lead by example. Go for respect over popularity. So understand that there's no popularity awards, really, when you're a coach. There's no such thing as a popularity award. There are successful coaches and there are unsuccessful coaches. And your respect is earned by the character you are as a coach, not by the wins. Value character as well as ability. Just because you're really good at something doesn't mean you're willing to help others. Doesn't mean that you are willing to be selfless. So making sure that you're awarded for not only your ability, but your character, because you know that the character is going to help solidify a positive team culture. Okay. Work hard, but enjoy what you do. You know, work hard, we know that. Do everything to work hard, but enjoy it. Have fun while you're doing it, you know. You can joke around at practice and on the sidelines, but when the time comes, all that hard work that you put in, that's when you work and enjoy the rewards. Tony DeCato said, catch them being good. So instead of punishing them for being bad, he said, catch them being good. And what this basically means is when a student is doing something they're supposed to, tell them, good job on doing what you were supposed to. I like how you used the left foot in that scenario where I asked you to use your left foot, because I knew it would help you achieve the goal we were looking for. So if you tell them, that's one thing, but if they do something on their own, you need to also catch them being in the good and really use that as your positive enforcers that will help the team culture. He said, know your limitations and use them as strengths. So find out what your biggest limitations are and work on those limitations so that they become your strengths. Play hard, play to win, have fun. I think many coaches say that. Less is more. I think that's pretty cool to say, less is more, because many people think, you know, the more reps are better. It's actually more about quality, right? So what I think he's saying here is quality, not quantity. It's more important to have quality time doing something like a practice than it is to have more practice. The relay paradigm: vulnerable, humble leadership, validate their feelings, the challenge coefficient, imprint versus perfect, one size doesn't fit all, and be prepared to take penalty. Okay, so these are some of his approaches toward coaching philosophy. We also have, let's see here, Pat Summitt. Her 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 principles were respect, take, develop, and demonstrate, learn, discipline, and make. Respect yourself and others. Take full responsibility. Develop and demonstrate loyalty. Learn to be a good communicator. Discipline yourself so no one else has to. And make hard work your passion. So let's talk about learning to be a good communicator. That is important because many people don't strive to become a good communicator. So how do you strive to become a good communicator? Well, you begin by communicating more, verbally, through email, through text message, and not just simply saying hi, but having something to say, having a social reciprocity element to speaking. So having a question, having answers, having dialogue, asking things about the individual to get to know them on a more personal level. And I think that's what she means by learning to be a good communicator. Continued, don't just work hard, work smart, she said. Put the team before yourself. Make winning an attitude. Be a competitor. Change the must and handle success like you handle failure. So this was an attitude I've heard from many coaches, is to have a humble approach. So if you're going to win, that's fine. You won. Good job. If you lost, that's fine. Do better next time. But let's not get too outrageous when we succeed, and let's not get too outrageous when we fail. Because we know that everything is an up and down life, okay? So keeping a even keel, I think, is what her coaching philosophy also was considering. Be a competitor. Change is a must. You must adapt to change. You have to change. You have to acclimate to your environment. You have to be able to change when there's a problem. You have to be able to adapt to your environment and mold into what you need to mold into to make more progress for your team to win. So change is a must. Put the team before yourself. Make winning an attitude. Go out there and have the attitude like you're going to win. Don't have the attitude like you're going to lose. I think that's huge. I think attitude and mindset and the dream to dream even bigger and for that success is really important. So you have to make winning an attitude. Coach K from Duke, preseason, regular season, postseason, all season, you should be in it. He was dedicated to teaching, commitment, family, excellence, and motivation. Especially with motivation, He motivated his players, obviously, to win many championships. And he himself is one of the greatest coaches ever. And he never took seasons off. So seasons were different times to get ready for your commitment, which was the game. The Pyramid of Success by John Wooden. So John Wooden said that success is a peace of mind, which is a direct result of self-satisfaction in knowing you made the effort to do your best to become the best you are capable of becoming. So success is the peace of mind, which is the direct result of self-satisfaction. So the intrinsic reward in knowing you made the effort to do your best to become the best that you are capable of becoming. And so we all have a purpose. We all have an ability level, and we have a capability level. And success is a peace of mind when you know that you've given it your all. This includes industriousness, friendship, loyalty, cooperation, enthusiasm, self-control, alertness, initiative, intentness, team sport, skill, condition, poise, confidence, competitive greatness, faith, patience, integrity, intelligibility, honesty, sincerity, ambition, adaptability, and a couple others. But that's John Wooden's Pyramid of Success. There are different ways you can develop your coaching philosophy. So the first thing you want to do is first identify your values. And you want to make a list of three or more. And here's three examples: respect, responsibility, and trust. Okay, after you've developed your values, okay, establish a personal belief system. So then provide an action statement for each value you listed in step one. For example, responsibility. Be accountable for the personal development of the student athlete physically, psychologically, and socially. Okay. After that, we're going to develop a personal mission statement. Write a personal mission statement building off of your response to the questions in steps one and two. To be a role model for student athletes in my everyday life, so I will positively impact the peak development of the student athlete physically, psychologically, and socially. So that would be a way to develop your coaching philosophy. First, identify your values, then establish a personal belief system, and then create a personal mission statement. And that would be a way to develop your coaching philosophy. Okay. Other than that, why should we develop a coaching philosophy? Well, a well-developed philosophy will help you make difficult decisions and coach more successfully. You want to think like an accountant, and every drip of sweat has value. So everything that we do toward this philosophy is going to add value. Okay? And as far as what it consists of, like we talked about, we want to make sure that our philosophy consists of our coaching objectives, which are hopefully to win and have fun and to develop. And our philosophy should consist of our beliefs and principles that you achieve that help us achieve our objectives. Okay? That's going to do it for today, everyone. I hope you all enjoyed this. We'll talk to you later.